Hey everybody, this is Jenny Jam from Fret Sisters, reminding you to hit that follow button up on top and follow us on social media at Fret Sisters on IG and at Fret Sisters on Facebook. We got a lot of good interviews and topics coming up, so do that. Peace.
We are now in season 8 of Between Frets. From all of us here from Fret Sisters, we like to thank you for listening and watching our videos and supporting us since day one.
This is LaCole Rose. You're now tuned in to Between Frets. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Between Frets, a space where female musicians meet and discuss all things music. I am your host, LaCole Rose, and I want to thank you all for sticking with us and rocking with us for 8 seasons. I really do appreciate it. And we have a great guest coming for you today. We have a classical guitarist. She is an ambassador for Augustine Strings as well. And if you scroll through her feed, she may be a bit of a gamer. We'll talk about that if we get the chance. We have Amanda Kaya. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. This is really exciting.
You are very welcome. Just quickly for the listeners, are you in Jersey or are you on the West Coast?
I am in Jersey. I'm in the New York City metropolitan area, just across the river.
Okay. Awesome. Were you born and raised there?
No, I'm a Texan.
A Texan?
Yes.
Oh, that is dope. So how did Texan get in New Jersey?
So I met my husband at UT, which is in Austin. Or I met him at a place outside of Austin, and I eventually went to UT after I met him. But he is a professor at a classical guitar coordinator at 2 colleges here, New Jersey City University and Kane. And he's you know, one of the classical guitar players, you know, the best that they have right now. So he's amazing, but yeah, we'll talk about that later. But yes, that's why I'm here. I'm here because he's, you know, I just love following his, you know, his career. He's doing so wonderful, and I'm just happy to follow along. You know, I teach kids, so I'm a little bit more flexible.
For sure.
Yeah, so it's been a wild ride adjusting to the East Coast, but here I am.
So are you new there? Or how long have you been there?
Oh, we've been here for has it been 2 years or 3 years? Oh my God, how long has it been? It's been 2 years. We just signed our lease for the third year, so it's 2 years.
Oh, so you moved during the pandemic as well.
Yes, that was crazy. By all imaginations, it was everything you probably thought it was. But yes, my husband got the job right out of COVID, and so like COVID was just started, and I think they called him, and then we were online for like a year, and then after they opened the universities, we moved. So that was fun. But yeah.
That is so awesome. Well, hey, I can say you're definitely brave, both you and your husband, for sure, to move to that town.
Well, he's familiar with it because he went to school here. He went to school in New York City. Okay. But I'm totally new to this. This is all new for me.
Oh, that's definitely a shock, I'm sure. That is awesome. So you say, I heard you mention Austin. So were you born in Austin?
I was born in Houston, but I only lived there for like 2 months. And my parents had this like beautiful mansion on this like golf course.
Oh wow.
And then I was born, and they're like, we can't afford this anymore. And so, cause I have an older brother who's like a year older than me. And so we moved to Austin and had the suburb experience. It was really awesome. I miss Austin so much. It's such a wonderful place.
Oh yes, so it's beautiful. It's one of the places I wanted to visit. And now that you mentioned, there's so much eclectic music in Austin, but the first yes. thing that pops in my head is the blues. So you're a classical player surrounded by blues musicians and all this beautiful art and just like history.
So there's everything, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about your upbringing in music and how did it lean towards what you're doing now in classical.
So this is so interesting. I have like a very eclectic musical background. I did start music in Austin. My mom is a pianist, not like by profession. She's a pianist. She was a very good pianist. I don't give her enough credit. She was amazing. And she went into geology, but surprise. And so she taught me piano at when I was like five. She started me, and I just took off. I really liked music, and I was playing piano, and she said, I'll keep paying for lessons if she keeps practicing. So that's kind of what happened. And I came home one day, and I said, I brought her a flyer, and I said, Mom, I want to learn this instrument. And it was a violin. And she was like, okay, whatever, like, that's fine. And so she rented me a violin. And I played violin for about a month before I switched to viola, because viola, there was only one or two. And this girl, she was one of my friends, and her brother played viola. So she played viola. And so she was like, yeah, you should come play viola. And ever since I was eight, I've been playing viola, and that was what I went to school on. So eventually I moved to Oklahoma City with my parents, and I went to a fine arts school there, and I majored in viola. And I majored in viola until I went to college. So that is what my profession is. I'm a violin viola player. That's like what I was professionally trained in. Mm-hmm. And guitar was always like fun. I took classical guitar for fun in like middle school, because I went to a high school that had one of the guitar programs, the only ones in the area. Well, the only one in the state.
A guitar program? How dope is that?
Yeah, it's hard to find one these days, but they're more than there used to be for sure. And I took classical and for fun, and then I would tell you I learned how to play some chords. I really didn't learn anything. And I just played it for fun. Like, I played chords and I just did that just to have as a hobby. And then when I got to college, I took it as an elective, and that's how I started playing. And then I met my husband, who is like, you know, this classical guitar phenomenon. Like, he's just so good, and he taught me, and that's how I ended up where I am now, because I was just playing and for fun, and I really, really liked it. I really loved playing the classical guitar. And I love the music, and I just wanted to be really good at it. And so he was like, okay, I'll teach you. And so he taught me, and now
what's now your husband's here. Name?
His name is Jidil Refikaya.
Okay. That is, okay, he sounds like he's a killer on the classical, just by the name. Just by the name.
I love that.
So was that a difficult transition? Because you viola and violin, still strings. I mean, was it difficult on you to transition to guitar?
So that's a great question, actually, because the thing about them is they're obviously very similar. It's just like a sideways cello for mm-hmm. the most part.
Yeah.
it takes a lot more left hand strength. I would argue it takes a lot more finger independence, and the right hand is a completely different thing. It's so different. I have to have nails, and that's weird. But for the most part, like, I look back in history, and I realized this after I was playing violin, after I was playing guitar, my fingers got so much better. I was playing much easier, and my finger independency was like so much better. I was like, holy cow, what happened? And I look back, Paganini, one of the best violinists yes. that ever lived, he also played guitar, and he also had some kind of ligament thing where he had extra stretchy fingers, but he played guitar, and he didn't play it very publicly. He was always pretty like, I'm not that good at guitar, but I'm pretty sure he was pretty good. Probably better than me.
Right.
But he never played it in outside of like a small chamber room or salon concerts. But guitar was never really a big instrument to play. It's not very loud. It wasn't very loud. So I always say that I'm like Walmart Paganini.
No way.
Because it's actually really helpful to play guitar, and for string players. I always think this, because it happened to me. I became a better string player because of it. And I think that's why a lot of Paganini caprices have a lot of guitar technique in them. So, like, you know, hammer-ons and pull-offs, like, guitars can't really slur like a violin can.
Yeah.
So, like, the pull-offs are, Paganini's using those in his most famous caprice. And so I just imagine that he used a lot of the guitar technique in his violin works. So that's, I don't know. So the transition, I would say, was it worked very well for me. It was really, I wouldn't say easy. The guitar is incredibly difficult, in my opinion. But
I understand. It's been 20 years. I still can't do it well. So how did that, okay, let me jump back a little bit. When you say your mother played piano, what type of music was she playing in the house?
Oh, she was, my mom's such an interesting person. I love her so much. She's like, she's so funny. She would play every now and then. She hasn't played and practiced in years. And she would always, on random nights, you would hear like Moonlight Sonata on the most out of tune piano coming from the living room. She played like Beethoven. She played Adagio Cantabile, like the one of the famous Beethoven sonatas. And
is that by ear or did she read?
She read. Okay. She had them memorized. She'd played them and practiced so much when she was younger that she just remembers those in her muscles. She doesn't remember how to read music. But that's just neither here nor there. It always stays in your muscles. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, she would play Adagio Cantabile, and then sometimes she would like modulate into the Moonlight Sonata. And I was like, these are two different, completely different keys. Right. I don't know how she's doing this. And but yeah, she played mostly classical, like the classics, Beethoven and stuff like that. So
it was just pretty much in you to like sort of lean towards classical.
Yeah, I was just trained classically too. I've been classically trained for so long. My mom knew what it took to be a musician. She's like, you have to get private lessons, you have to do this. She knew what it meant to practice. And so I just, because I went to a classical program at my high school, I basically, that's all I knew. I trained for that since I was 11. I've been doing that since for so long now. So so it's classical is that's it. Yeah.
So how does that work? I mean, I'm sure your friends are all into classical, or are they? Because you went to that.
Yeah.
You grew up in
the most part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. A lot of my friends are. And I'm part of a program at New Jersey City University now. It's called Multi-Style Strings. And I mean, all the players in there are classically trained, but we're playing, like, a lot of my friends play pop music in New York City. Like, they'll go and they'll play electric violins, and they'll play, you know, mm-hmm. the latest pop songs. And so if you look at my page, I work with a group called Sci-Fi Ensemble, and they're from Spain, and they play a lot of pop video game music, anime music, all that kind of stuff. And they dress up, and they, like, it's insane. It's super cool.
Oh, they cosplay as they play.
Yeah, it's like super cool. And they play like Pirates of the Caribbean and like, you know, everything really popular. And it's like a super cool ensemble to be a part of. So I'm part of that program now. And I don't do the electric violin as well as they do. I'm still learning. But it is really fun to be a part of that program right now. So it's pushing my limits.
I mean, is there a big difference in electrical violin and
not really.
Okay.
You just have to, it's like if you have an electric guitar and you had to tune the sound and stuff, like you have to find what sound works for you. It's not easy going and just buying electric instruments, because violins are like incredibly expensive, but electric violins are not. They're like $700. I mean, the like guitar range, and it's just a matter of finding your sound, just like you would with your
guitar,
electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I get that question as well, do you play electric or acoustic? Well, as you know, I play both, but I'm sure for a violin, it's sort of, like you said, you can't just go up, let me just run this, you know, Dollar Tree of guitars and go get me a violin. You can't really,
But yeah, no, it's true. It's the same, but I think because I can't play electric guitar, like it's like a foreign piece of metal in my hand or a piece of wood. I wouldn't know what to do with it, but the electric violin, the only difference, because they have, some of them have six strings, and like that's like, no thank you. It's like the bridge, the fingerboard is like so wide, and like the strings are so close together, and that becomes like a learning curve. You have to learn how to do that, but for the most part, it's not like how I feel about electric guitar and classical. That is very different for me compared to like just playing a violin with an extra string. That doesn't bother me a little bit. It just takes a little adjustment. So for the most part, the transition is a mental transition into like going into something. You're playing something different. You're improvising, maybe. You're playing a different style. You're not playing classical. So that's the only, I think, the biggest bridge between classical musician, violin, and electric.
Yeah. Like I was scrolling your feed and I saw different ways classical guitars play. I was just laughing out loud, like literally, because when I think of classical guitarists, I think they're all, you know, very debonair, or very suave, or very like beautiful, flowy people, and you know, they're so serious. And every classical guitarist I've spoken to are the silliest people. I'm like, how do y'all transition? How do y'all do that?
I don't know. My husband is the most serious classical guitarist. I can tell you right now, he is like, you know, he has like a stare that could scare you into next year. But he's very serious and like a very, he's a soloist. So he, you know, he's a professional. This is his job. He's like, you know, playing solos across the world. And he's very serious about classical guitar. And not to say that just because you take it, you're very silly, doesn't mean you take it seriously. But a lot of people I know in classical guitar are so chill. They're so nice. And even like some of the best, like, you know, some of the best performers I've met have been so nice. It just depends on who you meet. Some of them are very serious, but some of them are incredibly goofy. So, I think we just bridge two worlds. I think guitar itself is hard to separate from the modern world these days.
Just for some people who may not be familiar with classical, could you name a couple of people that you look up to, that you admire, things of nature?
That's so funny. I admire my husband so much. He's like I'm his number one fan. Like,
well, talk him up, girl. Talk him up.
No, he's so amazing. Like he's just taught me so fast, and he's so intellectual, and he's just such a great player. And everything he does, everything he plays has meaning. Like every choice he makes, and this intuition he has about music is just so right. And I feel it. When I met him, I felt it. I was like, this is how you're supposed to play music. And we love the same music. We love the same genres. Like, we feel the same way about a lot of music. And it just like clicked. And I was like, this is how music is played. And I've learned so much from him in my own, you know, violin playing and everything. It's just, he's such a great musician. And I really do look up to him as a musician, but also he's my husband, and I really respect him for you know, who he is. He's just a lovely musician all around. In general, though, like musicians that inspire me, like right now, I, as a viola player, this is a funny question because I never really knew any famous viola players to look up to.
For sure. I like the third seat in that symphony, the third seat, whoever that is.
That's basically it, you know, like that can happen, and those can be really wonderful players. I just never idolized anybody growing up. I idolized people like Itzhak Perlman, like, oh my God, I love his playing. I was so inspired by him. And he still inspires me. I love the way he plays. And for guitar, I don't know. I hear my husband play, and I just can't listen to anybody else. Like, I don't know.
Who would our listeners be surprised that you listen to?
Oh, that's a good question. Like personally, like
anything, like guitarists, genres, singers, whatever. Like, you know, as a classical musician, they would think you would just only listen to that 24/7. What do you do to break out the box?
I am gonna tell you what I'm listening to on my Spotify right now. I am listening to How to Train Your Dragon soundtrack.
Stop it.
I am obsessed with soundtrack music. It's something that I listen to nonstop. I love the composer John Powell. He's just absolutely insanely good. I love everything he's written. So I just will listen to that. It just gets my juices flowing. I love it. I love John Powell. He's so good. And like, obviously John Williams, and I love soundtrack. I love movie music. I love game music, obviously, which is where my page comes in. Like, I absolutely love just these musics from, you know, it's pop classical, I would say. I don't know. It's some of it's really well written, like incredibly well written. And that's what I listen to. That's what I'm currently listening to right now.
I can dig it. Hey, I know I have to listen to it to see what the hype is about. Now, as soon as we get off, I'm putting on High Train and Dragon. As far as the music, let me see. So you say your husband is your favorite. Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. My thing is, it's great that he's also a great teacher, but some of the greats doesn't mean that they can teach.
And you say
he taught you quickly. So is it quickly because you already had some music, that you had a lot of musical background, or was it because how he taught you?
Both. I would say it was both. I would say because I already had a musical upbringing. I had, you know, I had the I had the idea of what it took. I knew how to put fingers on an instrument. I knew all of that. But the thing is, guitar is the technique about it is can be, you can teach it very wrong. And
yes.
And he is just, I don't know, he has kind of like a streamline to get people playing. And he sat me down and I literally plucked open strings for like a month just to make sure my right hand was playing correctly.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, some people just don't want to take the time. I had the time because I was just, it was a hobby instrument and I would sit down and I would do that. But for the first part of my guitar learning, it was just like open strings and it making sure that that mechanism was correct, because if that's not correct, you can't do anything. So people don't know or don't take the time to do the careful work. And he makes sure, he knows exactly how it should work. That's another thing. Teachers have to know what's wrong, what you're doing wrong, and how to correct it, and what needs to be right. And he's like a diagnostician of guitar technique. And it's not just me, all of his students play so well after like one semester. And for me, I get constant feedback, or I had that, you know, for free, basically.
What's his IG page? So he gets people following him as well.
Oh, is this his name? So his name is spelled C-E-L-I-L. And then it's R-E-F-I-K-K-A-Y-A, guitar. So that's again, C-E-L-I-L-R-E-F-I-K-K-A-Y-A, guitar.
Awesome. So yeah. You say you teach students like the viola. And I see like on your page, you have a lot of anime, and like you said, a lot of soundtracks. Is that, are you a gamer at all? Does that just come, the music come into play?
I used to be the biggest gamer. I am a gamer. I don't game a lot now, but when I find the time, like when the last Legend of Zelda game came out, I was like, oh my god, this is insane, a game like this hasn't come out in so long. You know, Legend of Zelda is the game that really is my core game. It was like my core memories, like my family played it, we all played it. I remember like being a kid and my mom came in and she got my dad a Nintendo 64 for his birthday, and or her Father's Day or something, and he and we got for Christmas, we got the Ocarina of Time, the first Nintendo 64 Zelda game. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that, like, those are my first memories, like my dad, my brother and I playing these games. And I remember one year that Majora's Mask came out and we opened the game and the save file before we even started playing said Santa. And it was just like these, Zelda has been, like the music for it, like has always been classical. It's like orchestral music. And other games that I played, like Skyrim, like, you know, Medal of Honor has a great soundtrack. The guy who wrote the Medal of Honor soundtrack wrote the music for Up.
Really?
So yes, Michael, I forget his name. It's an Italian last name. And he, I should do him some justice. Hold on. I can't say his name. Giacchino. Michael Giacchino wrote for Up, and he did write for Call of Duty and Medal of Honor. And he's like, just a wonderful composer. So like, it doesn't seem, people may not take these things seriously, but these are legitimate works of art. Like these are music that are just as serious as a symphony, or, you know, these classical composers, like, you know, John Williams is taken just as seriously as, you know, any classical composer. So these games really influenced my taste for music, and I played a lot of games with really amazing soundtracks. And I'm a gamer, but that also, it was kind of like the Looney Tunes for my dad's generation. By the way, my dad's old. he's old, he'll tell you. And he said that, like, I mean, they always said that the Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes had like Peer Gynt from Grieg and all of those mm-hmm. classical pieces, like William Tell Overture, all of those, or Barbara of Sevilla, like
I remember
those.
Bugs Bunny playing the piano, like a concert.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I feel like these video games were my Bugs Bunny, because these were playing classic, not like your typical classical pieces, but they were playing classical songs. And yeah, I love Legend of Zelda. It is my like core memories. Like, I love the games. I love the art. But most importantly, I loved the music. And so it really kept me going. And I was always engrossed into the soundtracks of those games. So that's why I play a lot of Zelda. But
everyone has a comfort song that they play, like they can do like absentmindedly. Is that one of the songs you just sit and doodle and just like play without even thinking about it?
Oh, the Zelda piece? Yeah. I mean, those I just play. I play some really cheesy classical basic songs sometimes, but like
what's
romance.
Considered basic?
Spanish romance. Oh my God. If you want to get like a million views on TikTok, play Spanish romance.
Thank you for that idea. I will jazz it up. That's all I know.
Ooh, that would be good though. That would sound really good. that song needs a freshen, like a refresher.
Okay, that is awesome. Okay, so what for the people who want to get into class, we've been looking into it. Do you have like a guitar? You say, hey, this is a starter guitar. If you don't stick with it, that's fine. You can still, you won't lose out too much.
Yeah, of course. Cordova makes a great guitar. It's like $300. So Yamaha classical beginners are great. my guitar is technically a beginner guitar.
It doesn't sound like it. It does not sound like it.
I have a Martinez. It's kind of like an upper level beginner guitar, and I'm so happy that I found it. They don't sell it in the U.S. though, so I don't think they make my model anymore. I'm really sad about that because it's a really fantastic little guitar. But I have a Martinez. If you can find them, the Martinez, like C130C, an incredible guitar. And Martinez makes good guitars for the most part. But obviously, Cordova is your standard $300 guitar. Yamaha is also another really good one. If you want to do classical, and honestly, classical guitar, I agree. I would argue it's easier to start on than acoustic steel string because the strings are softer.
It's so the nails. I'm just so used to it. I don't know if I can do the nail thing.
I know that's a little it throws people off a little bit, but even if it's just for like a year or so, like I always recommend classical to my students before I would ever do a steel string,
for sure,
because those hurt. Oh
they
my
do.
God.
Yes they do.
Those hurt.
For sure. So okay, speaking of strings, how did you get involved with Augustine?
That's a good question too. Always a good question. I don't know. So it's interesting. The reason that my page exists like it does in the first place. So like the original reason that I was posting guitar videos was to, during the pandemic, I was really practicing to make myself better. And so I would post videos, and I was also doing a company that was live streaming guitar lessons to kids. And so I would, to get kind of like people to get into my streams for this company, I would post guitar videos just to kind of like grow my page, to get my name out there a little bit. And I was like, maybe 5,000 would be nice. and then I just so happened to play, we moved and we didn't even have furniture yet in that video. And I was like, we were sleeping on the futon and I played this piece called El Vito. And it just blew up. That piece just went, like, for my page, it went nuts. And like in a week, I had like 20,000 followers. And I was like, whoa, okay. And so I just went with it. And I kept streaming. And then eventually that job went under. It just wasn't working out. I guess, I don't know. I won't go into that. But I just kept posting videos. And my page kept growing. And so I was like, I guess I'll just keep doing this. And Instagram was paying people to post reels at that time. They don't anymore, but it was a nice little incentive to keep posting, and then my page kept growing. And then my husband is a D'Addario artist, so he works with D'Addario strings. And so Augustine, obviously they knew my husband, they know of my husband, and we love the people at Augustine, and we love the people at D'Addario. It's like, we, they're all great.
Yeah.
there's, but he's always been a D'Addario artist. He's been one since he was like 21, and he just uses their strings. He's always used the same string from them. And so to him, he didn't want to be Augustin as much as he loved the people there. He just never used their strings. And so he referred them to me. And they saw, you know, my page was doing well, and they just thought I'd be a good representation for an ambassador for the program. So that's how I got to be an ambassador.
Do you have your guitar handy? You want to play like a little 30-second or a minute Instagram little something?
Hold on. Actually, you know what? Let me see if I can even play. I broke my nail, my thumbnail, Thursday last week. Oopsies, I forgot it.
That's okay.
That's your very famous Spanish romance. You probably heard it before.
Yeah.
I haven't played that in a while. I should play it better, though.
No, that was great. It's beautiful to me. Like I say, I love classical. Because like I say, for me, it's just jazz and blues and regular stuff. I could never, even what you just did there, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I bet you can. It is one of the beginning classical guitar pieces. It's one of the first things people learn.
Thank you for playing, though. I do appreciate it. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I just had...
No, it's not a big deal. I just haven't played because I have no thumbnail.
You really have to wait till it grows out?
It doesn't catch the string. I ripped the entire thing off almost to the quick, It got cold, and I opened the door, and I missed it, and it just took the whole thing off. So I haven't broken a nail in almost 2 years. So it's weird. It's a little weird.
How do you maintain? Do you put like some kind of hardening, like nail polish on your fingers or your nails? I mean,
never.
How do you maintain the length?
So the best thing that most guitarists will never do is keep their nails short, and you want to keep them as short as you can, and you want to avoid cold, because the cold makes them dry and brittle, and that'll cause them to break like the quickest. And airplanes, you just avoid like trying dangerous things where it can get dry. Airplanes, chemicals, and cleaning, cold, ice, all that kind of stuff will make your nail like literally just break immediately. It'll like on contact, it'll just like break your nail.
Oh wow!
So, that would be the best way. But for the most part, I don't put anything on them. I file them, and I sand them very fine with like these little sanding papers, mm-hmm. so they don't ever crack and catch. Never clip them, just like stuff like that. And I have, you know, luckily I have good genes and I have good hair, so my nails are pretty sturdy for the most part. Don't put stuff on them. I don't trust that stuff unless it's like vitamin E oil. Don't put stuff on your nails.
Really?
Because
some people put acrylic and all to make them harder. And
You want to destroy your nails, put acrylic on them, because over time it'll kill your nails, your nail bed, because you have to scrape the top layer off to get the acrylics to stick, and over time you will have no nail. And it's the acrylics. People always suggest them, but like I'd rather just not have a nail than deal with that.
Wait just a week so it grows back.
yeah, that's better for me. And eat right, eat healthy. Good nails come from the inside out.
That is awesome. This has been great, Amanda. Thank you so much for like coming like and playing for me and all, you know. And you want to shout out the kids you say you teach? You want to shout out the group or anything like that? Or your page? Any music? Oh, before we get off, I got ahead of myself. Is there any music that you're working on personally?
I am working on a lot of things right now. I'm working on multi-style strings and violin right now. I'm using like lots of loops and the pedals and effects, and it's weird because I play guitar and they always do that. And I'm like, this is interesting that I'm doing it on a violin now. And so I'm working on that. I have, I recorded something with a very popular ocarina player. named David Eric Ramos. He plays he's from Mexico and he plays the ocarina, and I'm playing on his next album for the Legend of Zelda record he's doing.
Full circle.
I know, right? And I played on that with him, so hopefully that'll come out soon. And I think it's supposed to come out in the next month or so. I don't know, either this month or next. And so David Eric Ramos, he's really popular on TikTok, but he's super cool. And anything else that I'm doing? I teach privately, so that's what I do. I teach mostly children, but I do love teaching adult students and, you know, all of that. But that's what I'm doing. I guess that's all I'm doing now.
Hey, that's a lot. Sounds like a busy schedule. shout out to music. You're working on pedals and effects for your viola. Shout out any websites, your IG page, anything you want people to contact you. Shout it out.
Yeah, contact me on my Instagram, Amanda G Kaya, and it's like that on, and it's Amanda Kaya guitar on TikTok. You can always find me. I'm always available on Instagram. I try to search through my hidden messages for those questions and stuff. But I'm usually pretty active there as much as I can be without losing my mind. And you can always email. Oh wait, email? Maybe I'll leave that one a secret.
Don't do that.
No email. Just find me on Instagram. I am pretty available there. But yeah, I hope to be playing again soon. My nail is still recovering, so I haven't made any recordings recently. But I am doing a lot of collaborations with Dulcimer Gumbo. Look up Dulcimer Gumbo. He plays the hammer dulcimer, and we've been doing a lot of collaborations. So go check him out. He's super cool. And of course, go check out my favorite person in the whole wide world, my husband. He is my teacher and my favorite guitar player ever. He has like 6 CDs with Naxos. So like,
oh wow,
you go listen. Yeah, he's got tons of CDs on Spotify from the Naxos Music Company. So yeah, Jalil Refik Kaya, CELILREFIKKAYA.
There you go. Well, we want to thank you, Amanda Kaya, for coming on the show. This has been a great time. You are an amazing guest. And we're definitely going to follow you, your husband, and everything else you all have going on. And again, thank you for playing. And listeners, thank you for listening to Between Frets. We really appreciate y'all. And we'll see you on the next one. Later.
Hey, Jenny Jam here. Thanks for tuning in to our latest episode of Between Frets. Keep checking back. We'll have more episodes loaded each week for your listening enjoyment. Peace and love.